Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Perfect. That was quick. Just instant connection. How's it going?
I know, right? It's going good. I mean, you know, besides the pending apocalypse, it's everything's okay.
Well, I was trying to rack my brain.
That changed.
Yeah. I mean, the world has changed within, you know, the space of a week beyond recognition, and it's absolutely insane, isn't it? I was just trying to rack my brain the other day, though, and trying to think when the last time we saw each other and caught up or did any sort of interview type thing was, and you know what, it was like 2018, so we're almost at 2 years. Yeah, it was when you and Joe came over to the Gibson Studios in London just before Vicious had come out, and we did like a sit down for Scuzz, like a TV thing, and that was the last time, because I missed you. I think I missed you on the last two tours, but you've been killing it.
Well, you know, it's such a strange thing, you know, right now, because it's like I really do miss being on tour. Now, luckily for us, somehow the stars aligned, and we had slotted this time to just kind of settle down and write a record. So we don't necessarily have, you know, a full summer tour but like, we know so many people that do, and it's like, it's crazy. And people that are dependent on that and have just released records and dependent on that promo. So it's like, yeah, we're pretty lucky over here.
Has there been a substantial gap in the touring schedule for you guys, and you've been off the road and you've just been at home writing and working on a new album? I presume that's where you're at.
Yeah, that's where we're at the moment. We had a small run slotted for April, but that has since been postponed to September. Hopefully it's not one of those, you know, like keep postponing things. Hopefully this all like blows over and we can actually do that. But it's really weird how the future is absolutely uncertain for so many of us, you know. So all I can do is write. You know, that's how I'm staying in control.
And you're in Nashville, right?
Yes,
that's where you live. Because I mean, only a couple of weeks ago there was obviously that devastating tornado there as well. I mean, how hard did that hit the local community?
Oh, it's incredible. We're still not recovered from it. Again, luckily it landed not super close to us, so none of the guys and like all of our houses are intact. But if you go, you know, in kind of East Nashville, it's just devastating, and it's like there's so many venues that are like just demolished, just to the ground.
Wow.
So many restaurants, so many houses. We heard incredible and absolutely morbidly devastating stories from locals. One of our friends, he's in a band called June, and he, his whole, like, the side of his house is gone. So, like, they it's funny, they did exactly what you're not supposed to do, as in, like, go outside. But
yeah.
I get him and his fiance went outside with the dog, and like kind of hid in like an elevator shaft in their apartment, and their entire, like, the side of their spot is gone. Like, they still don't know where their couch went. Their couch just like left. Like, who knows where it landed. So it's like, it's crazy. So and that was just right before the pandemic craziness started. So we were all, everybody in the community was putting together this benefit show, and everybody was going to come out and just supporting, you know, anybody that needed, you know, supplies, repairs, money, just, you know, any of that. And that got canceled due to the pandemic. So like, we're just, I feel so bad for all of these poor people that now have to be, staying at home quarantined, but they have maybe half of a house and everything is tarped over. It's just so sad. So yeah, hopefully all this gets back to normal soon so we can actually like fix the first problem. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I was having a conversation with Joel from Airborne just last week, and you know, they obviously had the fires raging all over Australia just before this as well, and you know, there's so much work to be done there too with, you know, recovery, and it's obviously not going to happen now for however long. It's, I mean, let's break for a song, then we'll come back and we'll talk more about all of this, you know, chaos and insanity. The first of five that you've picked, rather aptly titled, is The End by Black Sabbath. I guess I don't even really need to ask why that one is on the list. It sort of explains itself, doesn't it?
It does. You know, it's interesting, though, you know, with Ozzy, there's always some kind of smirk, I think, that goes along with a lot of with him singing those words. And, you know, I'm pretty sure it's the first line is it's the end of the beginning. And, you know, in the beginning of the end. And it's like, for me, I almost can spin that in kind of a positive aspect, as in, you know, when we get to the other side of all of this, it's not going to be the same world that we knew before it, but maybe we can make it a little better than where we left off, you know?
We'll be right back.
let's go in on that first of all, because I'm on exactly the same page there. I feel like, you know, this isn't just going to blow over. This is something which is going to change the course of human history forever. It's going to change the world and life as we know it forever. And that could, as you say, be, you know, beneficial for all of us, for the planet. It's obviously going to be a rough ride, and, you know, the death tolls are rising still, and that's obviously scary. But there does, I think, hopefully kind of, you know, seem to be an end in sight, which, you know, hopefully won't be too far away. And I think that the next chapter is going to be exactly that, isn't it? It's going to be like a whole new phase of existence. I've been thinking about that a lot. Have you?
Oh, absolutely. I keep thinking about, like all of the things that everyone was obsessed with just 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Like, you know, whose side of the political thing, you know, especially, you know, here in America, you know, whose side are you on? And nobody's telling the truth. And, you know, there's, you know, all these petty differences, like, you know, like boys against girls and the color of our skin and all of this stuff that like has been like setting back humanity like you know, hundreds of years
and dividing us. Yeah.
And dividing everybody. And so, but here's the thing about this pandemic is that we now have a common enemy, you know? So what I'm seeing so often now, and just like from observing online, and, you know, nobody's talking about that right now. We're all kind of talking about, you know, how we can get through this together and all hands on deck, and everybody's kind of helping each other out with however they're feeling and checking in on each other. And we're all talking like over FaceTime more often. You know, I've never done so many like videos.
Yeah.
Know, like videos with people than over the past like, you know, a couple weeks. So, yeah, hopefully, you know, we're maybe better humans, you know, when we come out on the other side of this.
The most recent few months, I think, have been overtaken by a lot of division. And I think that's been growing a lot. And you see a lot of bickering, not even just on the political front, but just online and on an individual personal basis. You see a lot of bickering and squabbling. And as you say, I think that when things like this happen, like, it gives you such a huge shift in perspective. And especially because, you know, we're forced to kind of just stay indoors and think, like, there's not a lot else we can do. You get a lot of time, don't you, to self-reflect and analyze and take stock. And again, I've been doing a lot of that too, just kind of thinking, like, what do I want to happen to, you know, in my life after this? What kind of person do I want to be from here going forward? It's a crazy uncertain time, but are you moderately excited by, you know, the uncertainty of the future and the outcome of it as well at the same time?
I think so. You know, and again, you know, I'm not happy about the death toll, and I'm not happy about, you know, all of the fear and people being scared. But I am optimistic, because in the moment right now with me, I've been doing a lot of self-reflecting. It's kind of like we're in a position right now where there are no rules.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it's not even so much the rules have changed. We're all just trying to figure out where we're going to settle in. And for me, the writing has been amazing for that, because I'm not buzzing around the same, you know, towers, so to speak, that I usually do. And then I'm thinking so much more about, I guess, like the polars in myself, as in everything that I'm writing is either, you know, extremely personal, because I can, or it's kind of something to gift upon the world, you know, as in kind of like, you know, we're all in this together type of thing. So it's been kind of freeing almost to just sit down and be like, okay, when this is all over, like, what collection of songs do I want? What would I be proud to like hand, you know, all of these people when all of this is done? I don't know. It's like, I'm not doing it for radio, and I'm not doing it for a label, and I'm not doing it for even my bandmates or producer. You know, I'm absolutely just writing for me. And it's funny, because I thought that was where my head was at when we're making our last record, and I was very proud of that. But now, because of what's going on in the world, I think that I can honestly say that I finally made it home. You know, so I don't know. Yeah, I I love our community and, you know, our fan base and everybody reaching out. And, you know, we've just kind of been keeping in touch, I think, more often than we usually do. And that's quite a lot on a normal, in normal life, you know, or the way it used to be, you know.
So
that's been fun, too. And I've seen a lot of people just, you know, just being kind, you know, to each other. And it's just kind of like, hey, man, you know, but we're all going through it. And so that to me is a beautiful thing too, you know, that I can take away from all of this.
Yeah. People actually looking out for each other, in ways which, you know, I've never seen before. It's heartwarming, isn't it? It seems like we finally have each other's back, and it's taken this to wake us up to the, you know, the concept that we are actually all in this thing together.
And on a global scale, it's not even, has nothing to do.
Yeah, there's no sides, is there? There's, you know, this isn't like a war in the traditional sense. This is just something which we're all fighting, this kind of unknown thing, this virus, which, you know, stands to kind of, you know, throw everything that we know into complete disarray. So it's this idea of let's pull together, work together. It's amazing.
Yeah, I saw the sweetest thing. Yesterday I was out on my porch, and my neighbors kind of across the cove. I live on a small lake, and there's a cove across from me, and it was the whole family. They were having like an old-fashioned picnic. They were having sandwiches on a blanket, and I'm like, I don't think I have ever seen that. like ever. So like, that's just a cool thing. I'm like, oh, neat, you know. Well, they got nothing better to do, might as well get closer and let's have a good old-fashioned family picnic.
That's it. I've been chatting to a few parents and, you know, getting the lowdown on what the beneficial side to being at home with, you know, your children, your partner, your family. And it seems like across the board there's a lot of bonding and a lot of, you know, connection or reconnection in some instances going on. Let's break for the second of your 5-song soundtrack to the end of the world, Lizzie, and then we'll come back and talk some more. Again, so appropriately titled, you're the second person to have picked this song, which I thought there'd have been a lot more, to be honest, but I adore this band so much. And I know that as well as being a big rock and metal fan, you know, kind of indie and alternative college rock kind of 80s music has been a big part of your musical DNA, hasn't it, since day dot?
Oh, absolutely. I'm a firm believer that if it's good, it's good. And if there's passion, it doesn't matter what genre it is, you know. And it's funny, I remember having a lot of conversations with Corey Taylor about that, because he's very eclectic and, you know, he wants to cover Prince and then he wants to cover Slayer, you know. It's like, that's what it is. you know, and if he could do both at the same time, I'm sure he would. I love REM, and they've always been kind of had their finger on the pulse of whatever's happening, you know, and whatever the world is going through. And it's funny how lyrics mean something different now, because he rapid fire lists all of these things, all of these problems in the world and all of that. And if you really listen carefully to this song, none of that stuff matters.
Yeah.
You know, so it's almost comforting.
It's almost like a Bob Dylan style approach as well, isn't it? It's almost like Subterranean Homesick Blues kind of amped up. That fast, say, rapid fire political analogy, bang, 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 wrapped up in this kind of crazy, catchy, off-kilter rock and roll song. I love it. It's a banger.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake, birds and snakes, an airplane. And Lenny Bruce is not afraid. I have a hurricane. Listen to yourself. Churn world serves its own needs. Dummy, serve your own needs. Beat it up an ox, speak, grunt, no strength. The ladder starts to clatter with. Reporters babble Trump, tethered crop, look at that, no plane, fine, then, overflow, population, common poop, but it'll do, save yourself, serve yourself, world, serve yourself.
Bernstein, Leonid, Brezhnev, Lenny, Bruce, and Lester Banks, birthday party, cheesecake, jelly bean, boom, mute, symbiotic, patriotic, slam, button, nap, right?
So you mentioned family a moment ago, Lizzie. Your brother celebrated his birthday recently. Obviously, you wouldn't have got to be with him. Is he West Coast? Is he over in LA still?
No, actually. He just literally a few weeks ago bought a place in Nashville.
Oh, cool, so, right.
Ironically, right as all of this stuff started happening. So all four of us are so close yet so far away because we can't really... We started a couple weeks ago, you know, because we were writing record. The guys were coming over, like, you know, every weekday, you know, just kind of coming over to my home studio, and we were, you know, just jamming out on things. And then as everything started to get crazier and crazier, that started trickling down. And then we kind of had a band meeting, like, I think we should just kind of stay at home right now and see how this all blows over, just so, you know, we're not part of the problem. And so it's so funny how we finally are all in the same, like, city.
Yeah.
but we're not together right now. So we've had a lot of, like, video, you know, just conferencing and, you know, talking. And, you know, little bro, it doesn't matter what's going on. He is always going to be able to entertain himself. And
no doubt. And
so he threw himself a party.
No, that doesn't surprise me in the slightest.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know.
I mean, the smart band, or perhaps the foolish band, may have decided early on to quarantine together. Did was that a conversation that came up? Did the four of you go, oh, maybe we should lock it in and write this record during this that time? Or did you decide against that for the better, the greater good?
we decided against that, definitely for the greater good. But a bigger instance was Josh has a wife and a kid, and
yeah.
So he's got to, like, so that was one of those things where he was like, yeah, I need to spend this time with family, and now years ago, like before the girlfriends and the wives and everything, absolutely, and we've done that inadvertently over the years.
Self-imposed quarantine, yeah.
absolutely. And, you know, I remember when we were making our first record, first and second record, we were all living in the same apartment together. So it was just like one of those things where, you know, going through like all the earthquakes and mudslides and whatever, what have you, fires that were going on in California at the time. And we've been talking a lot about like all the stuff that we've been through as a band, and then now this historical situation that, you know, it's just crazy, it's a crazy time to be alive.
It seems like only yesterday in many ways that, you know, I remember watching you guys perform. It was your first European headline show in Birmingham at the Academy Room 2.
Oh yeah.
And I just, you know, I'll never forget you just drinking this can of Stella at the end of the show while singing Here's to Us. And Rob Fenn was out on the road with you then. And like seeing how far both you as a band and Rob as a photographer have come and traveled in that time is, you know, amazing. Like you guys doing Alexandra Palace last time you were over here. And, you know, Rob just traveling all around the world with Zombie. Like it's so amazing to see, and you know, it makes me so proud to see how far you guys have all come. And it's been a wild ride, hasn't it? And now, because of this whole new scenario, like last week feels like another lifetime ago. So, you know, 10 years ago now is like, well, that's another universe away.
Absolutely. It's strange because, you know, the future is very much uncertain for most of us.
Yeah.
You know, we have to figure out a different way to do things and a different way to reach out. And, you know, and you can, and, you know, you can think about it, you know, in a negative way, and you can kind of, you know, you can complain about that kind of thing, or you can just figure it out and almost think of it as like a clean slate and a new page. And and so that, you know, that's kind of how we're viewing it. But yeah, I don't know. We're so lucky, man. You know, that we're still a band and we still like each other. And you know, we talk about that a lot. You know, like little bro and I were literally like cracking up. We've been sending each other like videos like that we find online. And like, isn't it cool that like we're still like so incredibly juvenile that we can like, you know, laugh at some stupid TikTok video or something with each other, and or talk about like being kids and, you know, watch. He was sending me like some like Muppet, like the old Muppet Show stuff, and I'm just like,
he loves the Muppets, doesn't he?
Well, you know. Technically, Animal was his first influence on the drums. If you really want to dig into that, but yeah, I don't know. It's interesting, and I've been thinking a lot about that too, about how you know, I'm so incredibly humbled and amazed at how far we've come as a band, but also, you know, the fact that we're still doing it. And we said this when we were making our first record, you know, there was a lot of ups and downs. That was a crazy time for the industry. You know, there were,
it was kind of the end of the record business, wasn't it?
Yeah. Everybody was getting dropped and our A&R guy got fired. And, you know, we were talking, like we were seeing all of our peers just get dropped from their labels and everyone's going home. And every time something like that would happen, including the mudslides and the earthquakes and the fires and all these other things that were happening to us at the time.
And now the tornadoes and the pandemics. Yeah.
Well, we reminded ourselves that when all that was going down, that was where Here's to Us actually came from. Now that song didn't go on a record until the second record.
Yeah.
But you know, we would cheers to that. Cheers to the ups as well as cheers to the downs, because we just talked about this. Like, no matter what happens with all of this, we're gonna figure it out. We're gonna figure out a way to continue to do music. We're gonna figure out we're gonna be okay as a band. And so we're just kind of like reminding each other of that. And it's a beautiful thing.
Let's come back and get into that in a little bit more detail. This third song by one of the greatest to ever do it, such an icon. A giant, so sadly missed as well. And this song is just beautiful. I love it. Tom Petty, I Won't Back Down.
Oh, yeah. What an amazing artist. I don't think you can ever go wrong with Tom Petty.
It's a fact. Matter. You can't.
Yeah. It doesn't matter if you're like are like a thrash metal dude or like, you know, love Britney Spears. Everybody loves Tom Petty. You know, and this, it's amazing how lyrics are kind of seem different now. Like, you're listening to lyrics differently and you're taking these songs. Music is so incredibly needed right now, and you're like, we've been spinning records, you know, constantly, and it's funny how like you just listen to things a little differently now, and I feel like this was apt, you know, to include on this list. And what a song of strength, and also just Tom Petty, you can hear Tom Petty smiling while he's singing that, you know.
So, absolutely. Yeah,
I thought it was good on the list,
with a twinkle in his eye.
Turned around.
Did you ever see him live? I never got to see him. Gutted.
I did twice.
Oh, man.
The first time I saw him, when he came through Nashville twice over the course of a couple of years, and first time I saw him, it was actually kind of a little scary. He was a little shaky on stage, and we felt like, oh God, you know, what's going on? And then the second time he came through, it was like he was a kid again.
Yeah.
And everything was great, and he was bouncing around, and you know, it was strange because, you know, the arc of that, like, as in, like, right before, you know, he died, he seemed like he was in the best position in his life, you know, and like just having fun, and you know, obviously all the songs were great, and he was singing, you know, his butt off. So it was a strange and sudden thing to have found out later on that you know, that he was ill. So
I think when you're a musician who loves what you do, that craft, the lifestyle as well, obviously touring can be physically punishing sometimes, but I actually think that the joy in the work is what keeps a lot of people young and keeps them going. You look at some of these older people, like a Neil Young is a great example of that, just seems to be so youthful and still has so much fire inside him that the music continues to give. It's amazing to see. And also what you were mentioning earlier on about the fact that you guys still, you know, joke around and love each other, and I know you're a proper family. All the old time sort of legacy acts that I've interviewed over the years all say, you know, if it's the original lineup that's still together, the fact that they're still doing it, and the secret to longevity is loving what you do and still loving each other. And you can tell the bands that have, you know, kind of got the beef backstage, and they're kind of there through gritted teeth, just doing it for the money. And, you know, I think that those bands are the ones that always inevitably end up breaking up, don't they? But if you can stay tight as friends and a family unit, then hopefully the future is yours. You mentioned a moment ago, Lizzie, about how you're going to try and roll with the punches and come up with, you know, new ways if you need to exist as a band in this current crazy situation. Have you been discussing with the guys any, you know, online form of entertainment or engagement, or, you know, ways around performing and playing that don't involve crowds and public spaces, if that's going to be the lockdown for, you know, the foreseeable future?
Absolutely. We've already kind of dabbled in doing that, just like in certain outlets, and we're thinking that, I mean, it's an interesting time, because what I love about the anything, even though we maybe aren't on stage and in front of people, even though that is like absolutely, you know, that is part of my soul, and I miss that very much. Just the act of going live in front of so many different viewers.
Yeah. You still get the buzz, don't you?
You still get that. Yeah. I still get a little nervous. Like I have a live thing tonight that isn't necessarily with the band, but it's just with me. And
you're doing like a radio thing, right?
Kind of.
Yeah.
It's like but it's like a visual radio. It's very strange.
On the air.
On the air. Yeah. And so, things where I've never really done that before, so for me it's new challenges, and you know, I don't necessarily have the benefit of having my band around me either, so that's a little scary, but we as a band, and also Joe and I have been doing a lot of acoustic, and you know, we've that's definitely going to be, you know, kind of a new part of what we do as this continues to kind of, you know, as this pandemic continues. But yeah, I don't know, there's that, and then there's also, like I said, you know, there's the writing, and I know that you know, no matter how long we all have to kind of stay apart and maybe hold off on touring for a while, you know, there's always ways to release music and ways to get feedback on that, and we're just trying to come up with a lot of creative ways just in case that's kind of the new world when all of this is
yeah, the new norm.
Gone. You know, you never know. So I don't know. It's like I said, it's kicking us out of our comfort zone, which can be a good thing, you know. And
well, you either rise to the challenge or you don't, right? In the creative
absolutely.
Sphere, you either sort of step up and, you know, go around or underneath or above and figure out new routes, or you know, crumble and wither and you don't adapt and you die, right? I mean, I don't mean physically, literally, but as, you know, as a voice of, you know.
You have to. And you know, it's funny. I've been talking to a lot of, you know, musicians about this too, because everyone's kind of, oh, what do I do? What do I do? This is what I was going to do. And I just released a record and all of this. And you know what? You wouldn't be a musician if you didn't absolutely know how to adapt, because this business, even if you're just, you know, a local guy playing at the corner bar every, and that was your bread and butter and that was your thing that you did, you wouldn't be in this business if you didn't know how to adapt, because this business is so unpredictable anyway. Even if you're just like on a local, it's so unpredictable. Everything is subject to change. And, you know, and that's what you have to do if you're a musician. You know, if you wanted a predictable life, you would have gotten an office job.
That's it. If you wanted stability and security, you're in the wrong game.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're already out of the game. And I feel so bad for so many people that are out of work, you know, that do have office jobs and we're dependent on that. That has changed as well. But I, you know, it makes me sad that so many of my, you know, my buddies have just released a record and they were dependent on this summer tour to, like, you know, and the promotion and all of that. And that's disheartening too, because it's like, oh man, you're like, you've worked so hard. I know how that is. You work so hard to make a record and then you release it and now you can't go on tour.
Yeah.
And you can't like do all of it. So I don't
It's heartbreaking, know. Isn't it?
Yeah, it really is in the industry. And but you know, we got this, people. You know, it's going to take a hell of a lot more, you know, than a pandemic and to crush what worked so hard for. And also just it's a part of you. If you're a musician, it chose you, not the other way around. And so it'll get you through.
I love your spirit, Lizzie. It's undeniable. We're going to break for the penultimate song on your playlist. And this was a tune. So I was lucky to have just gone out on a tour in February. So, you know, it's still fresh in my mind. And I got to go all around the UK and Europe opening up as a DJ for Zach Sabbath. So Zach Wilde and the crew. And it was amazing. And so all these shows that we played are still fresh in my head. And I'm kind of holding on to them as like, oh, we're going to get back there soon. It's not going to be too long. But this was one of the tracks on my playlist that I play every night. And people absolutely love it. It's Dio. It's Dancing. That's not about to say Dancing in the Dark. Bruce Springsteen. Rainbow in the Dark.
You can dance to this one too. I love this tune. That was, I remember we, I don't want to say we covered it well, but when I was, when we were teenagers, we covered this song. And I don't know, I love Dio so much and everything that he wrote about. And it was, there's always that little, you know, hey, it's going to be all right, you know, and say, so, and you just be you and all of that. And I think that by listening to Dio from a very early age, I think that was a huge part of what now in my 30s has become kind of my mission statement. And we were very lucky to be able to open up for Heaven and Hell in 2009, right before Ronnie passed. And so we feel very grateful and very lucky to have had the stars align that we were able to actually do that. So I don't know. We were listening to some Dio the other day, and this came on. I'm like, ah, oh, Ronnie, how you doing, man? You know. I don't know. I wanted to include that just for my own guilty pleasure.
Absolutely. Well, it's your playlist as well. It's the songs that make you happy and remind you of the good times before, you know, the end times finally bring down the curtain on all of us.
Who's alive?
You know, you got to tour and I guess now befriend and become peers with some of your all-time heroes. You mentioned Corey Taylor earlier. Recently, of course, you were out with Alice Cooper on stage with him, jamming out to Schools Out. That must have been a huge tick in the lifelong list of dreams that you've got to achieve and see and do. And that must have been amazing, Lizzie.
Oh, it was awesome. It was great. He's such a nice guy, Mr. Ellis.
Mm. he's lovely,
he's
isn't
like
he?
Every,
he's like the most down-to-earth rock god on earth.
Yeah. And it was funny because he took us all out to dinner within the first week of tour, just to kind of like get everybody to know everybody and like, hey, we're having some conversations and he made everybody like stand up and introduce themselves.
Amazing. Yeah, like you do at school on your first day.
Yeah. I'm like, wait, he turns to me because I was sitting next to him and his wife, and he turns to me, he's like, watch this, I'm gonna embarrass everybody. I'm like, oh no, what are you gonna do? And so he literally like was with a spoon just like ding 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 on with a glass, it's like, attention everyone. And of course he's the boss man, so everyone's like, okay, shut up and listen to, you know, to Coop. He was just awesome. And I got to tell him that he was the guy that that made me realize that I was not cool.
Nice.
So I told him this story about when I was 11 and we had just moved into a new place and I didn't know anybody in the neighborhood, and some of the neighborhood girls invited me to a slumber party. And Matt, I'm sure you know where this is going.
I know the story. Yeah. But please share.
Yeah, they asked me to bring some CDs, and I brought Alice Cooper's "Love It to Death," you have to understand. Like,
needless to say, that was the odd one out.
Yeah, well, this is like '96, so it's like
all Britney
TLC
Spears and
Backstreet Boys and all of that. So we put it in, and those girls looked at me like I was from another planet, and you know, they were asking like absurd questions, like, "Well, this is really loud, and isn't he old? What's going on?" Like, what are you talking about? This is great. You know, we didn't even make it past the first chorus before they were like, yeah, let's put somebody else's on. And so I'm telling Alice this story and he's like, oh, I am so happy. I'm so proud that I was the one that showed you that the way, you know. But because I told him, I'm like, it's amazing because that ended up becoming kind of my, I turned it into my superpower when I got into middle school. So I loved the fact that I was listening to things that nobody did. I was dressing different than everybody. It became kind of my, you know, my armor, so to speak. And then when we started the band, that was a whole other thing. So it was just, it was neat to be able to like actually have that conversation with him. And I was so glad that he didn't like take offense to it. Not that I thought that he would, but he was like so like sweet about it. He was like, "Oh, I'm so happy and proud." I'm like, "Okay, thanks, bud." So yeah,
I love that. Well, like I said at the start, you guys are absolutely killing it, and I couldn't be happier for you. I think this has kind of been the longest time we've gone without catching up. The final thing I wanted to chat to you about, Lizzie, what I've noticed in more recent times is you've really started, I guess, tackling and approaching and raising the issues, you know, that have been, I guess, put in the shelf or away in the closet for a long time. Things like mental health and depression and stuff like this. And I love that you're, you know, what you've just said there about how Alice opened the door for you. I don't doubt that you're becoming that for so many people out there. I wonder if we could finish it by, you know, you just kind of sharing some tips for staying sane and optimistic and healthy and happy in these times when I know a lot of people are struggling. Either they're cooped up indoors alone, you know, perhaps they're in a tough situation with, you know, a family member or a partner, whatever. Like, there's a lot of, you know, I think people who are having a real hard time at the moment. I wonder if you could just maybe share some of your tips and pieces of advice for people out there that, you know, need a lift and a pick me up.
Oh, absolutely. I think first and foremost, the important thing to remember, and I know that, you know, it's everyone's saying it and it's becoming old habit. It really is true. It doesn't matter what walk of life you are. It doesn't matter whether you're, you know, like me and a musician and, you know, whatever, or if you're just, you know, your next door neighbor. Everybody is going through this. We're all going through it. I battle with my own darkness daily, and just like this pandemic, depression and anxiety and all of that doesn't discriminate. It doesn't pick and choose every, you know. And I think that more so right now, because of the state of the world, so many people that maybe had some outlets that they were able to kind of battle that darkness outside of the home and outside of, you know, this, you know, this scare of even just watching the news. I think a lot of more people are kind of, discovering their own darkness right now.
Yeah. And, well, there's nowhere to really run from scared. It, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, for me, what I end up doing is a couple different things. First and foremost, I have a schedule. Even if nobody's giving me one, I have a schedule. I wake up and I get dressed for me. I don't stay in bed all day and snack. You know, I exercise. I create something every day. Like, no matter what that may be, you know, in your world, whether that means, you know, I'm going to cook something, or I'm going to draw something, or I'm going to just sit down and, you know, write an essay about whatever I'm thinking, you know, or maybe it's about this. It really does help to have some kind of goal every single day to make something out of nothing, because that act of creation, and where all of a sudden you have something that wasn't there before, it can be extremely uplifting and give you kind of that boost of confidence, like I got this, you know. The other thing that I do daily now, and it used to be just like on occasion when I was kind of feeling bummed, but now I just do it like it's brushing my teeth. I free write, actually. So this is the act of just kind of getting a pen and paper. I like the physical act of pen and paper, but you can type it out or whatever. It's basically, I usually do it kind of first thing in the morning with a cup of coffee. You know, just anything I'm thinking about, whether it's like, hey, you know, like I don't like my hair right now, or I can't find my slipper, whatever it is, whatever's on the top of your head, you know, maybe you're worried about something. Maybe you're just, you know, just kind of tensed up about something, anything. Just start writing about it. It doesn't have to be legible. It doesn't have to have punctuation. It doesn't even have to really make sense. But just the act of getting that out onto paper is almost like, it's very therapeutic. It's almost like you're venting to someone, even if, you know, no one's there listening. So that's been very helpful. And also it's interesting, because when I go back and I start reading whatever I had been writing, there are a few things that maybe stand out to me that I end up like circling, and then I kind of put that away, maybe it becomes a song fodder later. So it's kind of a nice, like, multitasking situation too. But, you know, I think above all, what I've been doing is I've been trying to stay connected with everyone. And I think that's important. You know, make sure that you reach out to your family, to your friends, even to strangers. I see this happening all the time on my Twitter feed and all of that. Everybody's checking in on each other. It's very important that we all remind each other that we're not alone. And hey, I'm going through it too. What happened to you today? It's all good. We're here. Tell me about it, you know? And spreading that hope, being a good human, you know, don't harp on the fear. Make sure that, you know, you're spreading that positivity and making sure everybody else knows that they're not alone too. And then finally, this sounds like something I'm sure everyone is doing, but it's so important right now. Listen to music, discover new music, ask your friends to make playlists of maybe some things that you hadn't heard before. Music is so incredibly needed and it's so therapeutic, and lyrics can change your life. A riff can change your life and turn your whole day around. So I don't know. Those are just a few of the things, you know, that I've been doing myself, and hopefully, whoever is listening right now can take some of that and I don't know, maybe make a great day out of it.
Solid advice from the boss right there. Love it.
You're sweet.
Lizzie, so nice catching up with you. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this as well. What a treat.
Anytime, Matt. It's great to hear your voice too, man. And we'll have to have a beer when all this is over, okay?
Absolutely. Well, next time you're in the UK, we got a podcast. I've been doing my show over 3 years I've been doing it now, and people keep saying, when's Lizzie coming on? So yeah, when you do make it over here, we'll sit down, crack a beer, let the mics roll, and get the full story of Lizzie Hale, catch up on everything. And not just the current pandemic. Your last song, Lizzie. I love you for picking this. I've had Jazz on the show. He is a magical, just an insane force of nature. He's wild. And this, I wouldn't have had you down as a Killing Joke fan, but then Nothing About You surprises me. So I love that you have picked it. Are they a band that you've kind of always been into? What's your relationship and connection to Killing Joke?
You know, it's funny with Killing Joke, and specifically this album, you know, Dave Grohl is playing the drums on this album, right?
Yes.
So I recently, this is like just in the past year, I've rediscovered Killing Joke, and I've known, about like some of their early history, and I've heard a lot of their songs, but I had never really dug in, and I fell in love with this record. And then it's funny, of course, I realized that apparently, Nick Rasiolinitz had a hand in some of this record. I'm like, of course, it's like every favorite record that the same producer that did our last record.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wait, and he's like, oh yeah, I have like some videos of like Jazz doing some stuff and like Dave Grohl doing some stuff. I'm like, what? This is crazy. So I love it even more so now. But there's just such an energy to this, and he sounds like
Gollum from Lord of the Rings when he's singing. Oh, he's got this crazy shamanistic energy about him. He sounds like Gollum. He sounds like otherworldly.
It's crazy, and it's so interesting because it's just dripping with that angst and that attitude, and it's just when I was still like, you know, kind of riding in the car. Remember that? Yeah. Hey, remember going out and like going and doing stuff? It was just on constant rotation. So I love this record, and I encourage everybody to go rediscover it again as well.
Lizzie, thank you so much. That was great.
We'll be right back. special portion to take from with the people. Fight the push, the last battle.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.